This is an interview with Tian Chua, who is currently the Member of Parliament for the Batu constituency in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He is Vice President of Parti Keadilan Rakyat, an opposition party in the Parliament of Malaysia, which is also known as the Justice Party.
Welcome to Australia, Tian, and I suppose it's a welcome back, and thank you being available to 3CR for this interview.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure that I get the opportunities to come back and after such a long time. This is a bit like a warm homecoming for me.
Yes.
I'm glad that I have a chance to speak to the Australian audience. I have been active in the pro-democracy movement in Malaysia since I returned. I was elected as a Member of Parliament in 2008. Since then, this is my second term as a Member of Parliament in a constituency in the capital city of Kuala Lumpur. As you probably know, Malaysia is undergoing a very politically challenging time where we are, there's been so much exposure of our Prime Minister, Mr. Najib Razak, involving in various financial scandal that amount to billions of dollars.
And that's international scandals, aren't they?
Yes, I think probably all over the world heard about it, especially only last week when the Department of Justice of the United States named and specify the officials that involved in in the whole scandal, and uncover billions of dollars have been stolen from Malaysian people.
Yes, and that's I guess is a scandal. But let's move on to the political situation in terms of the constant domination of Barisan Nasional from the time of independence in 1957. No opposition has been able to claim its rightful number of seats in parliament. Like I know in 1955 when I think it must be the second round of elections took place. Even though the opposition won 20% of the votes, they only had 1% of the parliamentary seats. And that pattern has continued consistently. And I guess that history still prevails. And the opposition, it's really having enormous challenges in trying to make inroads.
Yes, true. Effectively, Malaysia is still a country that dominated by one ruling party since independence in 1957. We have not seen a change of government. Subsequent of the prime minister and majority of the chief ministers come from the ruling Barisan Nasional parties, which is a coalition of various ethnic political parties implementing and ethnic-centric policies. And we have also witnessed continuously centralizations of power in the hand of the prime ministers. And in the recent years, we also witnessed the prime minister has been very intolerant of any form of critics, especially those that has take out or courageous enough to expose the Prime Minister's own corruption cases. I myself is facing several court cases because among them, one of it which is a charge for sedition, just because I and my colleague, fellow member of parliament, as well as NGO activists, we were vocal in criticizing the abuses of power of the government. This is the current, repressive atmosphere that we are living in Malaysia. being those people on the side of the opposition are still having a very tough time trying to maintain our dynamic of making sure that Malaysian political balance that not to be totally monopolized by the ruling party.
In the 1970s, Dr. Mahathir, who was then Prime Minister, introduced a positive discrimination policy which favoured the what they call Bumiputras or the Malays, and that also has a religious attachment to it. But the fact is, since I think 1980, the votes for Barisan Nasional, the ruling party, has gradually been decreasing.
Yes.
And the opposition has been growing among all ethnic groups. So perhaps, correct me if I'm wrong, we are going past that ethnic card or race card the government has been able to play, or Barisan Nasional has been able to play since the 70s to gain up an upper hand. But then now you have corruption as well as a huge component of the domination of Malaysian politics.
Yes.
So in terms of tackling all this, I believe you are setting up a new party or a new group, because Pakatan Rakyat, which was the coalition of opposition, basically fell apart, I was going to say.
Yeah.
So now you're looking for new directions, I believe. I wonder if you could explain what this new grouping is, or and is it going to be a political party?
Yeah, okay. Let me go back a little bit of what you said just now. The ethnic-centric system was in fact introduced by the father of the current Prime Minister, Najib Razak, in the 70s introduced that, and it continued up to Mahathir and continued up to today. So you can see a long sequence of continuous strengthening of a very polarized society.
Mm.
And that also gives a very Malaysian political, climate, a very strong undertone of the race and religious narrative. And we are facing this, and it has a very unhealthy effect on the overall development of the democracy in the country. It is to tackle all this, we require very strong commitment from those people who are not with the ruling parties, namely the opposition as well as various social movements, to come together to at least break such this sectarian and fragmented political communities. We have made several attempts in the past. Whenever opposition party come together, we gain certain momentum. We raise up people's hope for change. Unfortunately, last year, over certain legislation, the Pakatan Rakyat, which means the People's Alliance, which has contested twice in the election and gained strong support from the public, as more or less defunct, and because of various parties walk their own go their own way. Ironically, when Mahathir and some of the UMNO leaders, including the Deputy Prime Minister's Muhyiddin Yassin, were sacked or removed from the ruling parties, they intend to form political parties in the opposition to challenge the current Najib-led ruling party. And discussion is underway for this newly formed, about to be formed political parties with all the existing parties. There is high hope that we will all come back together to agree on a certain common platforms and to rebuild an opposition. coalition pact to challenge the government in the coming general elections.
So this is going to be another coalition of groups, or are you...
Yes, it is.
It's not going to be just an individual-based group.
Yeah, it will be a coalition of various political forces. Certainly, there will be participation from prominent political individuals as well as leaders or leaders of the civil society, etc. But it will eventually be an electoral pact where the coalitions will nominate candidates to challenge the ruling candidates from the ruling parties.
So you're going to have a coalition with no race or religious delineation?
I think the key issues is that we want to create a forum or probably a platform, a political platform that be inclusive of various orientations of ideologies and more importantly, representative of various ethnic groups and religious denomination to be under one roof so that we can develop national consensus that to overcome the racial undertones and the religious hegemony of the ruling parties. And as we see now, Najib is embedded with all the scandals. Increasingly, he is playing out religious and ethnic sentiment in order to divert attention from the public away from his corruption scandal.
Mm. So his policy is a continuation of the past history of Malaysia, where there's an ongoing division of the people so that attention can be diverted from their own crimes, basically.
That's right. And this is the unfortunate consequence of a divide and rule politics.
That's right. Very colonial, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he inherited from the colonial powers and perhaps, in fact, even perfected under the modern nation building.
Mm. I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit of a flavor of what this new coalition is going to, what sort of policies will you adopt? Is there a proposed number of views that you are recruiting people to?
Well, the coalition at this stage will be still quite loose. I think the focus, there will be several focus. I think the key issues is, as we talked about just now, to overcome the divide and rules and to enable Malaysians of various ethnic background, various religious background, could come together and to work with each other and to reduce suspicions and hostilities against each communities. That will be the key, one of the key tasks of the political movement, because no movement will be successful if the nations is continue to be divided. The policy platforms will be very much oriented towards solving the livelihoods problems facing by the ordinary people, especially the working people and those people who are low incomes. And because of the years of decades of very authoritarian rules, the bureaucracy become very corrupted, and it's also certainly we can understand how wealth and resources has been directed to a small group of people. A vast majority of Malaysian citizens have no opportunity to enjoy our rich national resources that Malaysian has generated over the years. And there's our key policy platform will be try to redistribute this to empower the people so that jobs as well as economic income distributions can trigger down to help them. It is an enormous challenge. I think it's the first step to start will be to create transparency in the administrations. To handle corruption, it might take a lot more efforts. Yet, we start with opening out and allowing greater transparency through press freedom, freedoms of flow of information, to allow liberty for people to criticize and scrutinize the administrations. That will help to reduce corruption. With the reduction of corruption, it will come with a more efficient generations of income for the government. And hopefully, with this, we will have been sufficient to assist those needy. And we have made a very strong commitment that to remove ethnic-based type of economic policies into distribution made based on need. We do not think that we will not remove some of these positive discriminations, affirmative action policy, but we will change the affirmative actions to be oriented to those people who are in economic needs rather than based on their race or their ethnicities. So I think this to many countries sounds very natural, in fact even taken for granted, but unfortunately in Malaysia it sounds revolutionary.
Yes, it does, and that is a major task, that is to shift the privileges enjoyed by one ethnic group and into redistribute wealth more evenly, as you say, based on needs, is a massive task. But the question I have for you and what you've just said is that the Malaysian economy has shifted quite a bit from a rubber-based economy, tin-based economy, to a palm oil-based economy and into Petronas, a petrol-based economy in the recent past. Now, what sort of economic innovations will you be looking at to support your platform?
I think the recent crisis in the oil-producing countries hit Malaysia severely.
Yes.
Because we used to be very dependent on oil revenue. It's probably at some stage, only a decade and a half ago, we almost half of our government revenue were collected from petrol-related economic activities. And today, we hardly contribute more than 20%. There is a big gap for us to catch up. The key issues for us is to, first of all, we must be very vigilant and rigorous in reducing wastages, because the non-transparent nature of the government breed corruption, and a lot of contracts has been inflated and non-delivering of the products. So that is the immediate task, that we have to stop the leakages. Secondly, Malaysians should consider ourselves very lucky. We are in a very strategic, geopolitical position, where we are in the middle of, at the crossroads of various big economy between China and India, between the West and the East, between Australia and the Asian continent. Malaysia has to reorient itself from what we call a natural resource base or natural resources production country a strong human resources to allow us to be able to play an important role in trade and industries in those the developing economy. This might sound very easy in policies, but it requires the government to implement reforms not only in the administrations of economy, but also in our education system. Again, the education system has been called suffering because of the abuses of power as well as the discriminatory policies. And as a result, Malaysia is losing out a lot of human resources. And I think Australia has been one of the beneficiaries for many of Malaysian professional class who feel that they do not get a place to contribute and do not have good opportunity to participate in the economic construction of the nation. Eventually, they slowly move out of Malaysia, and this is a loss. And we have to reorient our economy to retain as well as to develop human resources.
Yes, there's been a huge brain drain. I know in Melbourne alone, there are, you know, tens of thousands of Malaysians live in Melbourne. Now, one question I have, which is crucial to any nation development, I guess, is freedom of association. I know trade unions suffer hugely in Malaysia, like in many other countries, and this is well known for, particularly the Asian region is well known for yellow unions. So what would your attitude be towards healthy, true worker representative trade unions in Malaysia in your future plans?
The trade union has been suffering reductions of memberships, not only because of the industrial or economic restructuring. I mean, of course, Malaysia also following the trend of many of the developing countries that we are losing out a lot of manufacturing sectors. This has a very negative impact on the worker organizing. At the same time, because of the very strong, very repressive trade unions control law, that making trade unions organizing is extremely difficult. The unionization rates for a country like ours, where 80% of the workforce are engaged in either service or industrial sectors, we only have about 7% of the unionized workers, and only half of them probably is covered by collective agreement. This has to change, and unfortunately, we also face a situation of influx of migrant workers. As soon as the workers trying to organize, we will be replaced by migrant workers, who always been intimidated to forego their rights, and they are unable to exercise what has been guaranteed in the law. So these are things that we must look into. My party's the Malaysian Trade Union Congress acting president now is from the People's Justice Party, my party. We consider worker organizing is a very important part of our political work. And this also eventually, the reforms of trade unions law in order to allow more legitimate trade unions to be organized by workers, the law reforms must come, and it will be part of our manifesto.
Thank you very much for being available to Soy Latte Breakfast and 3CRTN.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Nice talking to you.